of the store. The S-T-O-R-E. Never mind.
At the JFK Center for Audiology, we understand how difficult it can be when someone you love has hearing loss. At JFK Medical Center, our experts can identify your hearing loss using advanced diagnostic testing, develop a plan of action to improve your hearing, and offer you the latest technology in advanced digital hearing aids. Take the first step to better hearing and a better quality of life. Call 732-321-7063 to schedule your comprehensive hearing evaluation. That's 732-321-7063. Or visit us at jfkaudiology.org.
The information provided in the following program is not a substitute for or intended to be medical advice. Medical advice can only be provided to you by your personal physician.
Welcome back to JFK Spotlight on Health. I am Burt Barron. So glad you're part of the program today. We're going to be covering a pretty interesting topic today. We're going to talk about all different types and sorts of brain injuries. We're going to talk about something called mindfulness meditation. We're going to talk about the science behind that. And we have so many things that we have to cover on the program today that I'm so glad you're listening to the show. Special guest who is with us here today is a neuropsychologist from the JFK Center for Head Injuries. Dr. Joanne Azule is with us here today. Dr. Azule, welcome to JFK Spotlight on Health. How are you today?
I'm great, Bert. Thanks for having me.
I am fascinated by this, and we've talked about this with a couple of the other experts over the course of this program here with people that deal with head injuries and concussions and stroke and all sorts of things. I am interested in your perspective on this as a neuropsychologist. Can you just talk briefly about what it is exactly you do?
Sure, absolutely. I'm the person who comes on board with a brain injury when a patient's suffering from any kinds of cognitive deficits. So that's problems with recall, attention, focus. Oftentimes there's emotional dysregulation, so they can't keep their emotions together and fly off the handle. So I'm the person who comes in and works with the patient in terms of getting back as close as they can to who they were before with regards to those deficits.
Now, are these actual physical conditions in the brain that you deal with, or is it more sort of getting the wiring to kind of function properly again?
Right. We're not going in and doing surgery as a neuropsychologist. We look at brain behavior relationships, and we come up with treatment and strategies to address those. We work in a treatment team, so there's usually an OT, a PT, a speech, a counselor, all the different components of what a person might need in terms of functioning again, because it's the mainframe. Your brain is hurt. It is the mainframe of all your functioning.
Is it sort of an organic or a holistic sort of approach to this? Because I'm kind of getting the feel that that plays a little bit of a role in this. Is that true?
Right. Holistic in the sense that every component of treatment is going to be applied as necessary to the person. And with regards to alternative or complementary treatments, mindfulness, although it has tons of science behind it, has just begun to move more into the mainstream on the East Coast. We're one of the first hospitals providing the treatment.
Excellent stuff. Let's talk about this mindfulness meditation and give us an overview of that, of what exactly it involves.
Sure. So mindfulness meditation is something that actually has been around for thousands of years. So Buddha was doing it. You know, when you think about all the different religions, Jesus was doing it, Moses, Muhammad, you name it, everyone was going to the mountain to meditate. So it's just a concept that has been reintroduced to mainstream medicine about 25 years ago as a way of impacting certain kinds of behaviors. John Kabat-Zinn at UMass had started this program for people who were experiencing, there were actually physicians and residents who were training who were experiencing a significant degree of anxiety and depression. And he started this program that was very impactful with those kinds of issues. So flash forward 25 years later, I'm looking at brain injury and I have these patients who are dealing with the exact same problems, anxiety, depression, pain, they can't sleep at night. And I'm looking for something new to kind of address them.
The body, I've learned from talking to other people as guests on this show, Doctor, the body has a way to kind of help itself and heal itself over time. And it's pretty amazing what your own body can do to kind of restore and repair itself. Are there any parallels with the brain as to this self-restoration, does that exist at all in the brain?
Absolutely. One of the cool things, in fact, that I'm involved with a lot of research as well as treatment, so I get to see patients 10 years out. And I always tell patients this story so they hold on to this fact. The brain keeps changing and evolving over time. We have stem cells throughout our body, including our brain. So the notion that the brain stops is absolutely inaccurate. It keeps changing and growing and actually healing itself. So you're absolutely on the money with that.
Talk about what the science component is of this. Do science and meditation exist on the same plane?
Absolutely. That's a really good question, because initially when I started this program, I started about 9 years ago at Center for Head Injuries. I didn't know if it was going to work, so I was doing my own science. I was doing research pre and post measures to see attention, memory, how do people change. But at the same time that I was looking at this, other scientists around the world were starting to use, which is really cool, an MRI to look at meditation. So they were doing pre and post MRI studies, and they were finding that the brain in the areas of memory and learning and self-regulation, called the hippocampus, the cingulate gyrus, were actually increasing in density. That means your brain is getting thicker just by, you know, doing this hippie concept of meditating for 20 minutes.
See, I like the fact that even with science involved, meditation, you see activity in the brain. You see a physical
change.
Benefit.
Yeah.
That's very cool.
It's
you know,
very cool.
It's something you can't just laugh about. Like you said, oh, this is hippie stuff. There's real science and real benefit to this.
Hardcore science. And they're finding more and more every study that they latch onto, because one study brings more. So right now there's about 250,000 studies on mindfulness meditation in oncology, in stroke rehab, in all different areas of wound care, cirrhosis, you name it. And they're finding hardcore evidence that there's something going on with the brain, with the chemistry of the brain that changes when you meditate.
Can anybody meditate, Dr. Rezulai? Is there a right way and a wrong way to meditate?
No, actually, we're born learning how to meditate. If you remember when you were a kid and you'd like just lay on the grass and look up at the clouds, or you'd just swing on the swing and just watch angles go back and forth, you were meditating. What's changed is that we've become this crazy, productive, you have to be on 24/7, and we've forgotten how to just stop, stand still, and just kind of process things in a bit.
It could be that simple, just maybe closing your eyes at your desk for 20, 30 seconds and just kind of breathe in, breathe out, and that's kind of all it takes sometimes?
That's the beginning of it. What the challenge is, when you start looking at this as an intervention, the frequency and dosage is bigger than that. So if you think about like a medication, if you take it daily and you take it for 20 minutes a day, the studies show you will actually change the course of your brain. And what does that mean? It means that when you're 60, if you start meditating right this very moment, 10 years from now, your brain may still look like it's 60, as opposed to everyone else in your age group who now they have a 70-year-old brain.
That's a real benefit right
That's
there.
That's cool. Yeah.
Totally, totally. Are we talking about millions of people now that are involved in meditation around the world?
Absolutely. It's amazing. I've spoken in Italy. I've spoken in Europe, Scotland. Everyone has really embraced this concept. And again, we are beginning to support this idea in terms of meditation at JFK Hospital. And, you know, to JFK's benefit, they've been very open to these kind of new and changing interventions to meet people's needs. It's kind of cool.
I can see how sometimes for the medical establishment to get them to buy into something that doesn't involve, you know, science or, you know, medications or whatnot, just, hey, you know what, this is more of an introspective sort of thing. And I have to admire and congratulate JFK on their open-mindedness, no pun intended with this, of course. But it seems like you said, they've embraced this from the very beginning. And I'd like to think that they've got a head start on everybody else. Again,
you know,
no pun
yeah.
intended.
No, those are great. Those are great, actually, sound bites. But yes, absolutely. The great thing is, when I started this program 9 years ago and I said, I'm going to do research, this is going to be scientific, they were very positive, very supportive all the way down. You know, Sarah Cuccarelli, Brian Greenwald, Keith Cicerone, even the folks who had never really heard of me or what I was trying to do were listening with very open ears with regards to, you know, what is this that you're doing? The first set of studies that came out were really, really cool, because I had patients who had been with a brain injury and chronic challenges for, you know, 5-10 years. And what I was actually finding is they were making changes in their memory and attention. And you don't see that with brain injury in terms of that significant change over time.
And when you say brain injury, that's a wide array. We're talking concussions, stroke, maybe people have been involved in auto accidents, sports injuries. There's so many different ways that someone could suffer a brain injury, and this and the meditation practices all have a positive impact in this?
Well, when I first started the first study, I did it with only mild. So I was starting small and saying, okay, what happens with people post-concussive? So that's the category of mild brain injury. And when we saw the positive results, that people were not only saying it helped with their problem solving, memory, attention, emotional regulation, they said to me, this is life-changing. You need to really expand this. So what I did next was I invited patients who had suffered stroke, MS, tumor resections, and then moderate severe, people who really had very little memory left. And I said, let me try it with them. And what we did is we actually changed the way mindfulness was taught. We specified it for brain injury. We expanded it. We made it easier to understand. We repeated certain things, and we made it very, very conducive to, you know, simple, easy doing it.
I like this. This is going to be a good show. Dr. Joanne Azoulay is with us here today. She's a neuropsychologist with the JFK Center for Head Injuries. And when we come back on JFK Spotlight on Health, we're going to talk more about mindfulness and just the critical role that that plays. And I also want to talk, Doctor, about how this also plays in with meditation with traditional vaccines and the traditional medication, and talk about some ways that the two kind of work harmoniously. Can we talk about that coming up?
Absolutely.
All right, good. We'll come back with much more here on JFK Spotlight on Health. Again, our special guest this week is Dr. Joanne Azoulay. And if you would like more information about any of the programs or services that are offered by JFK Medical Center, just visit their website, very simply, jfkmc.org. More on JFK Spotlight on Health coming up. To JFK Spotlight on Health, it's Burt Barron's special guest this week is Dr. Joanne Azoulay. She is a neuropsychologist with the JFK Center for Head Injuries, and you can visit jfkmc.org for more information. We're talking about mindfulness meditation. We're talking about how it assists with brain injuries and just some very good eye-opening information this week that we're getting, of course, from our special guest. Mindfulness, Dr. Azoulay, can we talk about what it is and what it isn't? Because I'm really fascinated to learn more about what exactly mindfulness is.
Sure. Mindfulness is a type of paying attention in a very particular way. It's kind of like you're paying attention on purpose in this moment, without judgment. You're not trying to always assess things, but you're just trying to kind of get in touch with things. So like even you're standing there and you're in your booth on the radio, you're supposed to be kind of connecting with the fact that you have the earphones on, you're close to a mic, whatever the temperature is in the room. All of those things are being like mindful in the moment. And then you're experiencing whatever it is you're experiencing. So you're allowing the whatever is going on with you to come up. You don't have to respond to it or react to it. You're just letting it be. So that's mindfulness.
That's very deep. I never looked at it at quite such an in-depth level before, but you're right. You just described me perfectly right there. That's everything that's going through in my mind when I'm standing here. You're right.
Cool.
Very good. Okay. Now, how about what is it? What is it not? What is it, mindfulness?
Yeah, mindfulness. There's a lot of types of meditation out there. But in this one, you're not leaving yourself. You're not going to visualizations, or you're not going to like a cool scene on the beach in your head, or you're not focusing on a concrete object or using a mantra. This isn't like visualizations. This is also not a relaxation technique. Funny though, people always think of that, but that's like a side effect of the intervention, is that you get more relaxed whenever you start to just pay attention to yourself and your surroundings and what's going on with you.
That's what I always thought. The first thing about meditation was relaxation, but the two don't necessarily go hand in hand. Is that what you're saying?
It's more like the goal isn't to relax. Sometimes you're going to be upset. Sometimes you're going to be angry. But it's getting in touch with that, as opposed to how we normally handle life, which is to distract ourselves, don't think about it. But you pay a price for distracting yourself about your own condition and what's going on. So this is actually connecting to you in a very strong way and allowing yourself to be okay. I always say, be okay with the good, the bad, and the ugly.
Good advice.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Is it possible to meditate too much, doctor? Do people do it too often? Is there any benefit to overdoing it? Does that exist?
You know what? I don't see anyone ever complaining that they overdose on meditation in any way.
But it sounds so I was going to say relaxing, but it sounds so good for you.
Right. But the challenge is, what I'm trying to teach is meditation as you live in your life, like in New Jersey. So it's great to go to a mountain and just go to retreat and meditate all the time, but you're not dealing with real life. This is taking meditation and making it while you're living your life, to live it to the fullest extent.
I love this. Talk about the mindfulness attention program. Is that something that's run at JFK,
yes,
under your your watch over there?
Yes, that's
What's that
correct.
All about?
So as I was telling you earlier, about 9 years ago, I had a really tough patient. She was high, you know, high level functioning. And suddenly after her brain injury, she couldn't do the things she had done previously. And I was really struggling with a way to help her. I had been a meditator all my life, and I've done some, you know, really funky meditations and all kinds of things. But I researched this one as a way of helping her out. And what I found was she made tremendous changes, both emotionally. She had been a high-powered professional, and I had said to her, you know, let's try some creative things. And she said, I will never hold a paintbrush. I will never do ceramics. You stay away from me with that craziness. Over time, she really learned to embrace herself and actually became a proficient painter and now teaches painting and is really happy with herself. And I attribute that ability to adjust and change in her life to using the mindfulness as an intervention that allowed her A, to focus better, B, to accept what had happened with her, and C, to find a happy life.
Now, was she also going through the traditional rehabilitation steps also while involved with the meditation?
Not while. She did that first. That's how actually I met her, is through the traditional treatments of OTPT. You know, we were doing the whole gamut, but we still weren't making the effect. She still was very, very, very unhappy and not functioning in a way that was positive.
And like you had also mentioned earlier about there's actually a physical change in the brain. It actually grows? Is that fair to say that the brain grows?
It has more connectivity. Absolutely. And what was cool is when I started this program, I had no idea about that. I was seeing these changes, but I didn't know why. And then the science behind me was coming up around the same time. I was done with my research. I said, wow, people are changing in their focus, their recall, they're learning better. And then they said, oh yeah, by the way, MRI studies are showing that the hippocampus, the place for recall, is denser. There's more connectivity. That's really cool stuff.
And even through with MRIs and real medical evaluations, the proof is there. It's
really happening.
And that's why traditional medicine has embraced this, right? Because it's right there. It works.
It's right there. It works. And it makes a big difference in terms of everything else you're doing. I have docs now who are approaching me and saying, you know, I have a patient who's dizzy. I'd like you to look at this with regards to the mindfulness. Let's see if we can bring down the dizziness. I've just started a study right now looking at what's called pseudo seizures, non-epileptic seizure events. And what we're looking at is to see, is can we lower that frequency with mindfulness? So far, so good.
Excellent stuff. Talk about how this plays in, for example, with someone who gets a flu shot every year. Pretty simple, right? Everybody goes and gets a flu shot, but there's something else you could do. Does it enhance the benefit of the flu shot? Well, what else does this assist the vaccine with?
That's a great point to bring up, because that was like a really simple study. And all they did is they took two groups of people. They had one who had got the flu shot, and then they had another group who got the flu shot and then did meditation for 8 weeks. And what they did is they actually assessed at 2 weeks and at 8 weeks, what's the difference between these two groups? And astoundingly, what they found is that the people who had gotten the meditation with the flu shot had twice the number of antigens as the people who did not. And that's just, you know, flat out immune system functioning.
See, I like that, because now it's traditional medicine and the meditation, and you're ramping up the benefit that you get.
Exactly right.
Anything else besides flu? Are there other ways that you've seen some benefits with the meditation?
You know, there's multiple ways that this has come into play. Besides immune studies, actually they looked at cancer studies with the killer cells, and we have these killer cells that come in and actually attack the cells responsible for cancer in terms of their growth. And what they found is that the killer cell, when you gave meditation and people felt positive about the meditation, there was that caveat that their killer cells had amplified. So they had more of them to attack the cancer. So these are interesting things. Now, this doesn't, again, talk about the idea of instead of. What it talks about, the idea of complementing what's already going on. So it's the idea of you add meditation to your therapy regimen and see the results.
Sounds like nothing but benefit. I love this. This is really good. Again, our guest today is Dr. Joanne Azulay, neuropsychologist with the JFK Center for Head Injuries. And we do have one more segment that we'll get to coming up in just a moment. But again, more information is available by visiting the JFK Medical Center website, which is jfkmc.org. You'll find out the entire array of services that are available. And of course, information on the JFK Johnson Rehabilitation Institute and the JFK Center for Head Injuries, where our guest is joining us from today. One more segment coming up next on JFK Spotlight on Health.
Honey, I'm going to the store. The S-T-O-R-E. Never mind.
At the JFK Center for Audiology, we understand how difficult it can be when someone you love has hearing loss. At JFK Medical Center, our experts can identify your hearing loss using advanced diagnostic testing, develop a plan of action to improve your hearing, and offer you the latest technology in advanced digital hearing aids. Take the first step to better hearing and a better quality of life. Call 732-321-7063 to schedule your comprehensive hearing evaluation. That's 732-321-7063. Or visit us at jfkaudiology.org.
And we're back on JFK Spotlight on Health. One final segment with our guest today. Fascinating information from Dr. Joanna Zulai, who is a neuropsychologist with the JFK Center for Head Injuries. Again, jfkmc.org for information. Symptoms of head injuries. Why don't we just touch on that before we wrap the show up today, Doctor? What are the symptoms of head injuries?
Sure. That's the challenge is people, you really can't see a brain injury. So one of the biggest complaints from patients is that they're kind of the walking wounded. They have problems with their thinking, their attention, their ability to find the right words. They have physical pain. Oftentimes they have physical injuries, but in addition to that, you can have kind of a fibromyalgia-like symptom where you just feel achy and tired in all of your body. In addition to that, the most challenging piece that people will often complain of is that their emotions change. They used to be calm or able to filter what they were feeling, and now they're exploding everywhere or crying all the time. So those are just like a piece of the challenges you face when you have a brain injury. But again, looking at the person, you don't know that that's what's going on inside of them.
It's not like you said, it's a broken arm, you could see.
Exactly.
But when it's something that's involved in someone's brain, of course, it's...
You can't see it. I always say, right. I want to wrap a big Band-Aid around their head so people will be able to know, you know, I've just had something happen to me.
There could be something to that. You're right. You're right. Can you talk also in some particulars about the MAP program? Can we talk about that?
Sure. So it's the Mindfulness Attention Program that we started. And what it is, it ends up being a 10-week program. You learn how to meditate 2 hours a week, every week. The key really is in doing the homework and practicing every day. But you do learn 4 different types of meditation. You do learn a body scan in terms of just focusing on your body. You learn a sitting meditation. You learn how to walk and meditate. And you learn some kind of gentle yoga meditative moves with the idea of having a few different varieties that you can use wherever you go. So if you're in an MRI, you may decide to use the body scan and sitting meditation. If you're waiting in a doctor's office, any of the things that get you riled up and upset, you can begin to use this tool to kind of bring you down whenever you need it.
And it seems like people who are doing this because they need to get better and it's part of their rehabilitation process, this is something you could do for the rest of your life, right?
Yeah.
And I'm sure people continue to do it long after they've recovered from some sort of injury, right?
Absolutely. The other component to this mindfulness meditation is kind of like this wisdom thinking that goes along with it. So you really start with perspective changes about not judging yourself, having a lot of patience with yourself, really beginning to let go of stuff. We all carry like emotional stuff, like called the baggage. And it's this idea of letting go of stuff that happened in the past and not worrying about it in the same way. So there's also this huge perspective change that's going on the same time you're practicing this tool. And that's where the patients are coming back to me and saying, you know what, this changed my life. I could have used this 20 years ago.
Now, does your program, is it a group setting or is it kind of a one-on-one thing?
No, we usually do it in groups. So people have kind of other people to play off ideas and kind of explore what they're going through and how to make this work for them. What time's the best time to meditate, all those kinds of things.
And is there different benefits for different people? No two people are the same, as we know, but do some people potentially benefit more from doing this?
Well, I'll tell you, it seems like so far everyone who's tried it, including therapists and other docs in the hospital who are interested in trying it, find very powerful benefits to using it. But you're right, it's going to be individualized to what you need and what you're going through. But I always say, like, pain and trauma, no matter what happened to get you to that place, everyone, it's part of the human condition. We all know pain. We all know trauma. And what happens with meditation is whatever's hiding in the dark comes to light. So if you've been carrying around stuff from when you were 5, it all starts coming up, kind of like pearls on a necklace, like one pain piece brings up another. But what's so cool about it is once you start looking at it and getting it up, it goes out. You don't carry it anymore. And that seems to be the power of the lightness people feel after meditating.
With your initial introduction to this, did you buy into it right away? Were you a little skeptical at first, or did you say, you know what, this is something special and it's real?
You know what? I always was a meditator, so I was into the concepts. It's so ironic. I was in brain injury for a few years before I ever thought of actually putting it together. So I believed in the concept, but I had no idea how powerful this was. It was actually the patients coming to me and saying, "This is huge." That made me say, "Oh, okay, we've got something here."
And you just kind of made the two together, and was able to amplify or modify both, right?
Exactly.
And both sides saw a benefit to it.
Exactly that, yeah.
Pretty amazing. Now, you said you've gone around the world and done this in Italian. You've done this in Italy? In
yes.
Italian or through a translator?
No. Actually, what I did was present on research that was going on in Italy. They had the first mindfulness conference in the world, and they started it in Rome. So it was really cool to be invited to go and speak about the stuff we were doing here in New Jersey.
Yeah.
One of the funny things I always say is that, you know, JFK and the people who've pioneered brain injury here, because you have to realize 25 years ago, you had a brain injury, you just got sent home. There was no treatment. And people like Carolyn McHagh and Keith Cicerone and Brian Greenwald, these people were like starting brand new ideas of treatment, like right in, you know, Edison, New Jersey. Like, it's kind of funny. This is in your backyard. You've got pioneers. We were a model systems hospital. So this is like cool stuff that's always happening here.
Yep.
So, yeah.
Very cool. All right. We're going to have to wrap it up there, Dr. Azulay. Thank you for being on the show this week. Great information. And we appreciate your time today.
Thank you so much for having me.
I am Bert Barron. Thank you for listening. And until next time, you have a healthy day.